Closer by Paul Brown. The term closer was used to justify giving me a death sentence, as in me being killed would somehow bring closure to the victim's family members in my case. It made sense at the time, I guess, about as much sense as anything else made back then. I was walking through a nightmare, one of my own making, that I wanted so badly to wake up from. But it just went on and on, day after day. Life as I had once known it had ceased to exist. I was functioning seemingly on autopilot, relying on muscle memory. When someone spoke to me, I gave a kind greeting in return. When anyone held me in contempt, they would use their eyes to repudiate me. I wouldn't look away, not immediately. I'd try to use my eyes to show contrition, to say that I understood, and to say that I was sorry. I tried to maintain as much dignity as I possibly could under the circumstances, but mostly my gaze was cast downward, weighted by shame. In the courtroom, I think it was against the rules for anyone to speak to me directly. That didn't stop them from staring, though. In a sea of people, I felt alone, naked and cold, even in my thick white sweater. I scooched up to the defense table, looking over a document my attorney had given me, and hugged myself. I did receive some encouraging nods from the most unexpected places. I'd acknowledge their kindness with the subtlest of nods, not wanting to embarrass them. I'm not sure if those people knew they'd done me a great service. Those nods gave me brief moments of respite as the tragedies of my life were being relived. Small mercies thrown my way like life preservers. Maybe there is closure for prosecutors. For them, it's just another case closed, but not really. They use death penalty cases again down the line to further their careers. The men they've sent to death, feathers in their cap. They say they do it for victims' families, but even when those families are against the death penalty, prosecutors pursue it anyway. Like sharks, once they get the scent of blood, the hunt must be seen through to fruition, I suppose. There's certainly been no closure for my family. Like making the bed, showering, putting on a pot of coffee, or the complications of having cancer. The imminent threat of my death sentence is something they've had to navigate each day for the past 20 years. For some of them, it's easier not to think about it, to just pretend that it doesn't exist. For others, it's easier for them not to think of me. And I get it. I understand. I wish I could forget sometimes. But I'm an open book. Nothing ever closes for me. Sights, sounds, and even smells decades old are at times as clear as if they were right before my eyes. I can still recall my childhood self looking up at my mother and feeling the joy I got just being connected to this wonderful person. And my eyes still burn at the times I've disappointed her, recalling her face lit with glee at so much promise and hope for the future. Then seeing it melt away with my waywardness, cuts like a knife steel. Of all my sins, breaking her heart is one of my biggest. That she still loves me is a miracle and my life's greatest mitigator. In a life filled with angst, I also know what pure love is. It is her. I remember holding my newborn daughter and being nervous, having to hold her just so. I missed her stumbling through puberty, but felt them just the same. Now she's a grown woman and a strong, patient, and protective mother, which makes me a grandfather. Goodness gracious. My grandmother died in 2009. I never got to say goodbye. I saw her on a visit earlier that year. She had some sort of contraption from her dialysis treatment connected to her chest. Scared me half to death. I knew she didn't have much longer to live, but I'll be damned if I was going to say goodbye then. Sitting in a dirty visitation booth, squinting through scarred plexiglass. I couldn't even hold her hand. But I guess there's never an appropriate time to say goodbye. I wouldn't have done it even if I was home. I would have just loved her till the end, just as she loved me. When she used to laugh, she'd make a big screech, then a bunch of cackles. Her tummy was shaking, her eyes would water. It was uninhibited joy. But when she was upset, she brewed. I'd ask her questions to try to get her talking, and she'd answer and make conversation, but it wasn't the same. A stranger wouldn't be able to detect that anything was bothering her, but I knew. When she was sad, the whole house was sad. I only saw her cry once, and it seemed as if the world was coming to an end. I remember an instructor I had at school who had a way of reading stories that transported you right into them. One story I recall in particular was Heels Like White Elephants. It was a short story about a couple having a conversation on a train, and I was there. I could see the snow-capped mountains. They really did resemble white elephants. When she finished the reading, although we were in a warm classroom, I had goosebumps on my arms and felt a chill. I've always wanted to travel, but never got around to it. I used most of my electives taking her literature courses, trying to see the world, riding the cadence of her voice. I can still hear it. I'm not sure that death closes anything. It kills any hope of reconciliation. It destroys possibilities for redemption. It leaves the living with questions unanswered, but it doesn't close anything. Death is nothing. I can recall the best of times with a twinge of sadness, and my life is still ravaged by tragedy, but I can still smile sometimes, remembering the times once shared. Things that are long gone, but that are mine forever. A fusion of joys and sorrows, triumphant tragedy, all woven together to make up the beautifully bittersweet continuum that is life. And there is no such thing as closure.